So the Gemara at the end of Megillah tells us about Takanas Ezra. Ezra made many Takanas. The ones we're most familiar with is Kriyas HaTorah. He instituted that we read Kriyas HaTorah Monday, Thursday, Shabbos. There's a whole discussion in the Gemara and Baba Kama exactly what Ezra did, what Moshe did. Moshe played a role in it as well. And the Gemara discusses different possibilities in terms of what exactly Ezra instituted and what Moshe did. And even if Moshe instituted it, we assume it's a din d'rabbanan. It's rabbinical. The fact that Moses made it into a takana doesn't make it a mitzvah in our Torah. Torah's Moshe, when he said over the Torah, that's the biblical. But Moshe Rabbeinu made many rabbinical institutions as well. So Ezra and Moshe made the institution of Kriyas HaTorah, and we don't go 3 days without Kriyas HaTorah because we don't want to go, the Gemara tells us, 3 days without Torah. In Mayim El HaTorah, the Jews are traveling 3 days. But in addition to the classical takana of Kriyas HaTorah, he made a special takana, an additional institution, that Ezra said before the Yontif of Rosh Hashanah, and for that matter, before the Yontif of Shavuos, we have a mitzvah to read the Tochacha. We have a mitzvah to read the portion of rebuke, the portion we read last week. And Parshas Kisavo deals with the Tochacha. And we actually have a Tochacha in Parshas Bechukosai, as well as Parshas Kisavo. So the Gemara tells us Ezra instituted that before Rosh Hashanah, and before Shavuos, in this context, the Gemara considers Shavuos is also a Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara, the Mishnah tells us in the beginning of Rosh Hashanah, there are four Rosh Hashanahs. Well, we know colloquial, when we talk about Rosh Hashanah, we mean the new year coming up, Rosh Hashanah, even though pi halacha for different things, for Paras HaIlan, for Mayim, for different things, there are different new years. It's like you have a fiscal year, you have a calendar year. We have that also in terms of different types of calendars. So it's not like a strange concept. So Ezra instituted to read the Tochacha, we'll discuss Rosh Hashanah, before Rosh Hashanah. Kadesh Tichli wanted to get the curses over with, and we start the new year fresh. And he did it the week before, not the week before. Like, we don't do it literally the Shabbos before Rosh Hashanah. We do it the Shabbos before. We do it two weeks before. So we instituted that we should read the Tochacha to start off, to finish the curses, and end off with the good year. So we, even though it's not tonight's topic, but we do have different simanim we use on Rosh Hashanah with honey, the apple, etc. You know, maybe we'll get into that later. But basically, as we instituted, we should finish the Tochacha. So the question is, so the Mefarshim point out, there's a double kiyum, there's a double fulfillment when we read the Tochacha. What do you mean, he instituted the Tochacha? Like, that's, I can't help but Kisavo, that's the way our calendar is set up, our parshas are set up. Kisavo always falls out around Rosh Hashanah time, so what? He doesn't have to do anything extra. It happens by itself. So you need a history lesson. This is a later institution in the Bavli. In the Yerushalmi, really the Kriyas HaTorah was a three-year cycle. The original institution was we finished the Torah every 3 years, not annually. And not like certain shuls do today, that they read a third of Bereishis, then they do a third of Noach, and then next year they do the second. That wasn't the institution. Was it just took 3 weeks to do Bereishis, then next 3 weeks Noach, and therefore you'd set up, it was a 3-year cycle. So therefore today we have it that you always have Kisavo before Rosh Hashanah, but the original institution you were only reading Kisavo once every 3 years. So therefore, Ezra had to come along. You could have been reading Parshas Shmos, whatever you were reading. So in addition to reading the Rebbe Parsha Shavua you were reading, he made a takana. We take out another Sefer Torah and we read from the Torah. Just like we have the four parshios, we read Parsha Zachar, Parsha Para. We have special times we bring out and we read a separate reading. So too, Ezra instituted that we read the Torah. So really, it's a double fulfillment. Now, when we read Parshas Kisavu, we fulfill the institution of Parsha Shavua. In addition, we fulfill the special Takanas Ezra that we read about the rebuke and try to wake us up and to do tshuva before Rosh Hashanah. So it's a double fulfillment. So the Gemara tells us in Megillah, Ein mafsikin bakolos. One of the halachas we have every Shabbos, the halachas, the Mishnah tells us in Megillah, different days require a different amount of aliyahs. So we have three during the week, four on Rosh Chodesh, five on Yontif, six on Yom Kippur, seven on Shabbos. It's actually a machlokas in the Gemara, whether Shabbos got six, Yom Kippur seven, or the way we do it, Yom Kippur six, Shabbos seven. That gets into perhaps, what, you know, what is the holiest day of the year? Is it Shabbos? Is it Yom Kippur? So we see it's already a wrestling match in the Gemara. But based on the Ran says the amount of aliyahs you have each day, that's a reflection of the sanctity of the day. So the more aliyahs you have, that shows that day has a high level of Kedusha. So at least according to the Ran, Shabbos is holier than Yom Kippur. So we read, we have different aliyahs. On Shabbos, we call up seven aliyahs. However, the Mishnah says, on Shabbos, you're allowed to add Hosafis, as the Minig Yisrael is, that people go, you have different simchas, different shuls, different yortzeits, they have to give more than seven people, so they have 8, 9, 10, 11, etc. Except, you know, the Minig Hagra and the Minig in Yeshivas is not to add Hosafis even on Shabbos. Why not? The Mishnah says it's okay. So the Gra is going against the Mishnah? Why would he argue on the Mishnah? So he's not arguing on the Mishnah because there are many changes in our Kriyas HaTorah in the Takana originally and what it is today. Part of the original Takana of Kriyas HaTorah was there was only one bracha. The Kohen, the first person that got called up to the Torah, made the bracha Rishona. You called up everyone. You called up Levi, Yisrael, Revi, Chamishi. That's it. You just got up and, again, the meaning was that person used to lean also. Not only get the Aliyah. And then, at the end, the person who got the last Aliyah made the Bracha Achrona. So the original institution, there was only one Bracha. Today, now, the institution is everyone makes their own Bracha. So therefore, the Vilna Gaon says that today it's a shiloh of Tosefes brachas. We're adding more brachas. He thought it's better just to have this the Shiva Kruim, not to have Hosafis. He wasn't saying it at Meikar Adin, but he was Meikar Adin. You're allowed to, but he thought the better practice would be not to add aliyahs because you have to add more brachas. And then the Mishnah never said anywhere about adding new brachas. It only said about adding aliyahs. So either way, the Mishnah says. Ein mafsikin bakolas. Even though you're allowed to have hosafis during the week, during the year on Shabbos, when you're reading the portion of the tochacha, the portion of rebuke, the Gemara says, don't break up the tochacha. Don't, and why not? So the Gemara gives two reasons. One reason the Gemara gives is because it's inappropriate. God's in the middle of giving you rebuke, and you put God on, you put the pause button on. God, wait a second, I got to go watch the game now. I got to go, I need my workout, I got to eat dinner, whatever you got to do, you got to go study. You'll give me the mussar later, I don't have time for it now. Obviously, God's speaking to you, you don't just cut him off. That's one reason the Gemara gives. And second reason from Reish Lakish is, Ein mivarchin ala prunius. We don't want to add new bracha on something which isn't a good thing, on a davara, like the tochacha talks about that you're going to get punished if you don't keep the commandments, etc. So Reish Lakish says, you don't want to add new brachas on something which isn't a happy parsha, and therefore that's why we're not mafsik. So the Mefarshim asked, what are you talking about? I just finished giving you a history lesson that originally there was only one bracha. The first person made the bracha, Bishlom, according to now the minhag in the Bavli, so we understand. But based on the original minhag, what was Reish Lakish talking about? So, and this is a major machlokas among the Achronim and the Rishonim. How do we learn? Originally, when there was only one Aliyah, the first person made the bracha Rishona, the last person made the bracha. Let's say someone walked in late, he missed the bracha, but he got called up for Revi. Does he make a bracha or not? The person who's getting an Aliyah, Bizman HaMishnah, missed the opening bracha. He came late. And he gets called up for, so he could clearly lame, but does he make a bracha? So that's the Shaila. So some want to say, no, Pashas, no. There was only one bracha, you don't need the bracha. And others say, no, it wasn't carved in stone. You had to be Yotze with that bracha. If you were in Shul and heard the bracha, then it's okay. But if you weren't there, then you require a new bracha. In other words, the question is, when we made the change from every person making a bracha to one person, was it just a local technical change, or was it a fundamental change? In other words, was the original institution, that's it. This unit of Kriyas HaTorah requires one bracha, and that's it. So if you come in late, that doesn't make a difference. The bracha is on the unit. That's taken care of. But they say, no. Really, you need a bracha on everything. Every Aliyah is separate. But you heard the first bracha, so you have a yotze with the earlier bracha, like you do shchita. You make one. That's the machlokes Jews versus the Muslims. I had a friend of mine who used to run halal meat, who, the Muslim, not anymore, he sold it. But so he used to tell me that they make a bracha on each time they do the shchita. Our meaning is, no, we only do it. We do one bracha and have a mind that it covers all. And that's why some observant Muslims, when they can't get halal, they'll eat kosher. It's not the reverse for us. We can't eat halal meat. So either way, so they point out that that was the institution. So when they changed the takana, what do you mean they changed it? Was it fundamental or not? So that's the nafkamina here. If it was a bracha on the unit, so then you wouldn't have to make a new bracha. If it was a bracha, you really had to make a bracha if you missed it. So then, so it's not a fundamental change. So that's what the Achronim discussed, that either some want to say that no, that really every Aliyah really needed a bracha, but if you heard the first Aliyah, it counted. But what about according to the other Shita, that you only needed one bracha, and therefore even if you came in late, you need a new bracha? So that's what the Achronim point out is, Takanas Ezra of reading the Tochacha before Rosh Hashanah, that's a new Takana. It's a separate mechayev. It's a separate thing that's generating. In other words, I'm reading Parsha Shavua because of the halacha Parsha Shavua. I'm reading the Tochacha because of a separate institution. So that requires a new bracha regardless. So therefore, either you say it was included within the brachas of the other Aliyahs, or no, and that's the way we assume today, is we make a separate bracha on the Takanas Ezra, that we read it part of Parsha Shavua, so it's not an issue. But during the time of when they took it out separately to read, so according to anybody, you needed a new bracha, because that was a separate obligation of reading the Tochacha before. So we take it for granted, but really it's a double obligation, double mitzvah we get. Parsha Shavua and Takanas Ezra. So that's Reish Lakish says, we don't make a bracha on a davara. And that's what we find. I'll give you a couple of other examples, that we don't make a bracha on something which is associated with an aveira or prinias. In fact, we'll get into them perhaps even more. But let's say the Rambam Shita by a shofar hagazal. Let's say the only shofar you have in shul is a stolen shofar. So again, we're not talking about stealing the shofar, that you can't do. But let's say the shofar is here, it's the only one in. Can you use that shofar to fulfill your mitzvah on Rosh Hashanah? So it seems to be a machlokes harishonim, but the Rambam is clear, a shofar hagazol yotza. The Rambam writes, a stolen shofar, you are definitely yotze. You fulfill your mitzvah. Why? What about mitzvah haba ba'aveira? We have a classical principle that you can't do a mitzvah through the means of aveira. The Gemara tells us in Sukkah, if you steal the dalet minim, if you steal the lulav of an esrog, you not only don't you fulfill the mitzvah, but you violate an aveira of stealing. So it's why don't we say mitzvah baba aveira here? So the Rambam writes because there is no din gezel by kol. When we're talking about a sound, it's an intangible. You can't steal sound, and therefore it's true that the shofar was stolen, but the mitzvah is shmias. Shofar, the mitzvah is hearing the shofar, and you can't steal sound, so therefore the Rambam writes Yotze. However, he points out, no bracha. Why no bracha? Because any mitzvah which is associated with an aveira, you don't make a bracha on. And that's how some achronim explain a mitzvah we have in this week's parsha, at least according to the Ramban, a famous pasuk in this week's parsha, ki ha mitzvah hazos. We have a mitzvah. It's not far away. It's not in the heavens. Beficho v'vavcha la'asoso. So Rashi in the Gemara in Erevin says he's talking about the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. The Ramban learns is talking about the mitzvah of tshuva. So according to the Ramban, it's clear there's a mitzvah asei min haTorah to do tshuva. So the question is, where's the bracha? If tshuva, we make brachas on mitzvahs d'rabbanan. We make brachas on minhagim, so why don't we make a bracha before the mitzvah of tshuva? So there are many answers, but one answer is, because usually when you're doing tshuva for a reason. You did an aveira, and even if you're a tremendous tzaddik, you didn't do an aveira, but you do tshuva as well, and even if you didn't do an aveira, but you didn't fulfill your full potential, you could have done more. I could have done more mitzvahs, I could have learned more, I could have gave it not an aveira, but you didn't fulfill your potential, you could have done more. That's also you need tshuva on. In fact, that's the famous piece from Rav Soloveitchik on actually we read last week's parasha, Vidoy Meiser. Vidoy Meiser, it talks about when you have to go and read by the Mikra Bikurim, you have to bring your first fruits to the temple, and there's a certain saying you say, so usually, you know, so it says, Asisi kol, I did everything I was supposed to do. Basically, you're making a declaration. Basically, I listen to all the directions. So the question the Rav Soloveitchik gets and others is, when we say vidui, we usually associate vidui, ashamnu, bagad, oral confession. It's always with a negative. Why does Chazal call it vidui meiser? And yet all we're doing in the meiser, we're telling God how we did everything right. Isn't... like in other religions, you go down on your knees and you go to confession. That's not Judaism, but usually we do associate tshuva with aveira. So what does it mean, vidoy meiser, and why is it called vidoy meiser? So Rav Soloveitchik points out a tremendous yisod in tshuva. Perhaps for some people, by them, it could be the most important yisod, or else you can't even begin. We know the different categories of tshuva. The Ram writes is hakara sachet. You always have to recognize you did something wrong, or else... If I did everything right, then I'll continue doing it. The first step to tshuva is recognizing sin. That's because we all know what's the first step we all do is we're in denial. Whatever addictions we have, whatever we do wrong, the first step is always denial. So we got to break the denial stage. We have to recognize we did something wrong and then resolve, you know, not to do it again. Regret the past and take on, you know, not to do it, etc. But so some people say, you know, what do? They get up Yom Kippur during Slichos. Asham nu bagan achet. I'm a sinner. I'm terrible. I did this aveira. I did that aveira. And basically, so Rav Soloveitchik points out the vidoy is only meaningful if you realize you have the ability that you can do better. that you have the ability that you don't have to do the averis. You could learn more, you could give more tzedakah, you could do more chesed, whatever you have to do. The first step to tshuva is recognizing I can do it all. I can do everything right. Now, you know, maybe not literally everything. We all, no one's perfect. But we could do a lot of things. If all you think is basically like, basically saying, well, God, I'm a failure. I can't do this. I sinned here. And if you don't believe you could do better, then what are you doing? What are you doing tshuva for? It's not your, if it's out of your control, if it's not your fault, there's no need for tshuva. By definition, you have to recognize that you can do better. If you don't, that's why Chazal wanted to teach us that. You said, Vidoy Meiser. What are you doing is oral confession and go to a therapist and get some help. But Vidoy Meiser is telling us a tremendous so that you have the ability to do better, and that's what tshuva is all about. So tshuva is usually you did something wrong, so therefore no bracha on tshuva because it's associated with an aveira. And similarly, there are other examples we'll give in a different chair. But that's why Rish Lakish says, Ein mevarech al prunios. So it's interesting, we read the Tochacha, Ezra's institution, we read the Tochacha before Shavuos, which is also considered the new year, and we read the Tochacha in Parashas Kisavu, like we did last week. And the Mefarshim point out there's a big difference between the two Tochachas. There are many differences, but one difference is one Tochacha ends with hope, another tochacha ends without hope. Which tochacha ends which way? So the tochacha in Parshas Bichukosai ends with hope. At the end of the day, don't worry, Ve'eskor es prisi avos, I'll remember Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, don't worry about it so much. But last week, how did we end the tochacha? You're going to end up, you're going to go back, you're going to want to return to Egypt, you're going to go back on the ship, but basically you're going to want to be sold as slaves and there'll be no buyers. It ends very abruptly, like no hope. So the Mefarshim want to know, what's the difference? Why is it that the Tochacha in Bichukosai ends with hope, but the Tochacha in Parshas Kisavo ends abruptly? So they point out because some point out because in Parashas Bichukosai, it talks about Bekeri, things happening by chance. So therefore, if you think things happen by chance, you don't see God, so therefore, you'd have no hope. You have to realize at the end, God is there. But in Parashas Kisavo, they point out, the punishment's coming from God. So to speak, like, what's the saddest month of the year? Is Mishan Nichnas Av Mimata Besimcha. Av is because both temples were destroyed, days of terrible tragedy. What is the month called Av? Av, Aleph Beis. Av means father. In other words, ultimately, if you realize that the punishment is coming from your father in heaven, that itself is a Nechama. So when you think the punishment's coming, Bakrai, so you definitely need a Nechama. So therefore, the Eskor is Brisi. But Kisava doesn't need a Nechama because the fact that God's punishing you, you realize it's from God, that itself is Nechama. Like the mushel is, let's say you're riding a car, and when a kid jumps in front of the car, so you open your window, you start screaming at him, what are you doing? You almost killed yourself. Okay, and then the kid keeps on going, he runs in front of the next car, and you keep on going. The next block, another kid jumps in front of the car. You scream at him, you speak a little longer, but you basically go on. The next stop, another kid runs in front of your car, and you jump out of the car, you chase him three blocks, and you give him a good old-fashioned whooping. What's the difference between the kids? The third kid was your son. You wanted to make sure he's never going to do that again. So therefore, if you love someone, the more you love the person, the more you're going to make sure that, tough love. You have to make sure that he understands the severity of jumping in front of driving cars. So the point being is, so it's a certain type of nechama when God's doing the punishment, there's a level. However, Soloveitchik had a different explanation. He said, really, there is a Nechama, also in Parashas Kisavo. Not in Parashas Kisavo, but there is a Nechama in the second Tocha. But the Nechama comes in this week's Parashas Nitzavim. The Torah, it's about, 25, 50 psukim later, and the Torah says, and don't worry, if you go back, in God, you could do tshuva, etc. So the question is, so how come then, the Rav Soloveitchik asks, so why when it comes to Parashas Bichu Kosai, the tochacha comes right away? The nechama comes right away. The comfort comes right away. When it comes to Parashas Kisavo Nitzavim, first is like a big break, and then the nechama comes. What's the difference? So the Rav Soloveitchik explained, based on the Ramban. The Ramban on Chumash points out, what's the difference between the first tochacha and the second? He says the first tochacha alludes to Churban Bayis Rishon, and the second tochacha refers to Churban Bayis Sheni. So what happened for Churban Bayis Rishon? The Navi was very clear. 70 years we're going to have a Churban, and after 70 years, we're going to start rebuilding the second temple. So therefore, the first tocha corresponds to the first korban. So therefore, so too here, it's very, everything spelled out, the rebuke and then the nechama. However, Parashas Kisavo is connected to korban bayisheni. Korban bayisheni, there is no set time. In fact, we're still waiting today. We're still waiting for binyan bayishlishi. So just like over there, so the Torah tells us, and there will be a time, God's waiting for us. When you do tshuva, miyad nigolim. That's the way the Rambam seems to learn the pasuk in Parshas, in our Parsha this week. It's historical that there will be a time when once the Jews do tshuva, immediately then the gula will come. So it's in our hands. So that's why right now we're in the pause section. God's waiting for us. When we do tshuva, when we reach our potential, so then he's going to bring us. That's how Rav Soloveitchik explained. That's why there is a nechama, but it ends later on. It ends in this week's parsha because it ends with hope. So to summarize, we discussed that Ezra instituted before Rosh Hashanah and Shavuos to read the tochacha to finish. You should finish the brachas and kolos. You should finish with the kolos. End the year on a get rid of the curses, and we want to begin fresh. With bracha, it's important to have good starts, and we pointed out that the new year is also for Peiros Elam for Shavuos, and the new year we judged on Rosh Hashanah, and then we discussed that it was a double institution that they didn't always read Parshas Kisavo the way we have it now. It was a 3-year cycle. It was a special Takanas Ezra to go ahead and read the portion of rebuke to wake us up to do tshuva, like the Rambam writes by the mitzvah of shofar. Even though shofar is a gzeres hakasav, when we hear the shofar, it's supposed to wake us up from our slumber to do tshuva. And then we point, that's what Ezra's institution was, another thing to try to wake us up and to do tshuva. And then we discussed, it was a special takana, that's why even back in the time of the original institution, they made a special bracha on Takanas Ezra because it was a new, they took out a new Sefer Torah. And we went into the different institutions, Eimav, Sikhan, Bekolos. We don't break up the Tochacha because it's inappropriate to put God on the pause button, or because Eimav, Varchan, Alaprinios. We don't make a bracha on bad tidings. That's why no bracha on a stolen lulav, etc. While on the mitzvah of the Heshev as a Gzela, if you return a stolen object, there's no bracha because it's a mitzvah associated with an aveira. And then we discussed the issue of the difference between the tochacha in Parshas Bechukosai and the tochacha Parshas Kisavo. Then Bechukosai ends with nechama, ends with hope. Kisavo doesn't end with hope. And what some point out, because the first one has to end with nechama because people don't realize it's God's involved. They think everything's it's happened chance. It's coincidence. And those people need God desperately. We better end with the nechama. But in Parshas Kisavo, it ends abruptly, but we know it's God doing it. So if it's God's giving us the Pashis, it's like our parents hitting us. It's a hitting out of love, and the hitting itself is a nechama. Or, as Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, that there is a nechama, but it's later on. Why is it later on? It's based on the Ramban, that the first tochah is referring to Churban Bayis Rishon, the second one, Churban Bayis Sheni, and Churban Bayis Rishon had a set finite time, 70 years, and then the nechama came, so to the Parashas Bechukosai. Bakisov and Itzov is the time we're in now. God is waiting for us to do tshuva, and as the Rambam tells us, when we do tshuva, miyad nigalim, and that's why we read, that's why Ezra instituted to read the parasha now, to wake us up, and to do tshuva, and to enter Rosh Hashanah in a proper frame of mind.